This program is part of Full Service Radio, an internet radio station and podcast network with over 32 weekly shows broadcasting from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. All of our hosts are Washington, D.C. locals, covering stuff like music, arts, culture, identity, politics, and so much more. Visit fullserviceradio.org for all of our programming and enjoy the show. And thanks to Simplecast, Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Hi, and welcome to the first episode of The Leap, coming to you live from the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Gordon. I own a small business, Gordy's Pickle Jar, and one of my favorite things about being a business owner is talking with and learning from other entrepreneurs. And every Wednesday, I get to have these conversations on air, bringing together successful small business owners from a wide range of disciplines to share stories, wisdom, tips, and advice. You can listen to this show live every Wednesday at noon or anytime on fullserviceradio.org. Today, I'm really excited to chat with one of my all-time favorite entrepreneurs, Sarah Paulin from Supergirl. Sarah is a former stand-up comedian turned soup maker. She brings locally inspired, nutritious, and delicious soup to the hungry citizens of Washington, D.C. and beyond. Sarah launched her company 10 years ago and has since grown her business from a small soup delivery service to a soup empire. Thanks so much for joining me today, Sarah. What's up?
Thank you for having me, Gordy. This is a lot of fun.
Before we get into all things soup, I want to talk to you a little bit about your life before Supergirl. So you were a stand-up comedian.
I was.
So tell us a little bit about that.
In 10th grade, I used to say, like, I just couldn't figure out what people did after college graduation or high school graduation, because I was like, if I become a professional and sit at a desk, and I can't do it. And I was always the class clown, practical joker. And so I was like, and something I don't always tell people, when I was 5 years old, people used to say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I used to say stand-up comedian. So I think I was like, it's destiny, I have to do it. I moved to New York and I did it. And it was amazing and fun and hard. It was so hard. Every night you could just hear the pounding of the sneakers on the pavement of downtown New York, with all the comics with their backpacks on, just trudging from show to show. And every night you have to do that. You have to get stage time. But it was an incredible experience, and I think that the comedy has I try to infuse a comedy into my brand. I try to make my brand approachable. Thank you.
Your brand is hilarious. Right now she's doing all these great videos, and they're just comical.
I hope so. Thank you. They're really hard. I mean, they're not, they actually, it's fun. It's fun bringing that humor to life. Like, I've tried to use it in my writing, on my website, in my emails that go out to my customers, but now I get to write little mini sketches and do a little improv, and we're going to keep rolling those out. The question is,
please do.
Thank you. So it's a lot of fun.
So how did you end up taking the leap from being a comedian to Superwoman? Was it a bad joke?
That's a good joke. There was a brief interlude where I worked for a travel company, a Middle East-based travel company, and I hit a point where I was turning 30, and I realized that I had left comedy to pursue this business, and I had become what I had said was my worst nightmare in 10th grade, and I hit rock bottom. I mean, it was bad, but I'm so grateful for going so low, because then I was forced to figure myself out and pick myself up, and I realized I wanted to open my own business. I wanted to get involved in the food world. I wanted to get involved in responsible, seasonal, et cetera, et cetera. It was 2008, so it was before local was really hot, and all of this new food explosion, whatever you want to call it, hit right. DC and really the country and the world. So we were a little bit ahead of our time, but my mom and I have to say, well,
so yeah. You were inspired by
I was inspired by Michael Pollan's book, The Omnivore's Dilemma. So I knew I wanted to figure out.
Great book.
It is. It's a game changer. I think some of the things are a little extreme, and we have to figure out what works and what doesn't work. But I used to be one of those people who would go to farmer's market and think they were cute. Be like, oh, look at the overalls and the farmers and the apples. And then I was like, oh, this is a movement. This is serious. And that it kind of hit me, and I knew I wanted to do something on my own. And then a friend of mine said, soup, why don't you make soup? Your mom's been serving you guys soup. I mean, literally, when I lived in New York, my folks would visit. She would fill a cooler up with soup that she had frozen, and I would just fill my freezer. I don't know what other people eat.
So you and your mom are in business, but you know, prior to getting, how did you lure your mom out of retirement to start making soup again with you?
She's a Jewish mother and she doesn't know how to say no. I had a friend who was potentially interested, but she had a child and was planning to have another one, and I had already decided to take the plunge and do this. And she was like, oh, I'll help you. And I don't think either one of us had any idea what we were getting into. But I like to say some of the best decisions in my life I haven't really thought through.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's kind of nice to be naive and just jump.
You know, I mean, your story is same. Very similar,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, what you woke up one morning, you're like, pickles.
Basically, yeah.
Look at you now.
So, like, how is being in business with a family member? Is it easy? Is it hard? You guys come a long way with your relationship of how to work together, how to...
She's not nearly involved in the day-to-day operations anymore. She does all the recipe development and test soups, but she used to be there by my side every day. And I'm very, very fortunate. I'm grateful for that relationship. We had the most fun. I miss those days, even though they were so hard. It's not like it's that much easier. It's just different now. We would crack up and just laugh and get in huge fights. And then by the time the soup had finished cooking, we were cracking up again. She is someone, she's a testament for healthy eating and soup, eating your veggies. Cause she's 72. She has the energy level and looks like she's in her 40s.
She looks amazing.
And it's exercise and diet.
And the soup cleanse.
And the soup cleanse. Thank you, Gordy. Yes, it's a box of health delivered to your door. It really is. That's one of another reason I'm excited about this business, is that we're feeding people what they should be eating. Every right. doctor says this is what you should be eating. Eat a lot of plant-based food, a lot of plant-based protein, fiber. When you fill yourself up with plant-based protein and fiber and veggies, you're satiated with a lot fewer calories. You're eating the right food. You're fueling your body correctly. And so we put together a program. It's called the cleanse, but it's not a cleanse. It's in quotation marks. It's not a detox. It's a week of healthy eating, or 3 days of healthy eating, or 4 days of healthy eating. And you right. should know, every time you grab one of those soups and you heat it up and you eat it, you just made a healthy choice.
And it's a little bit different than like a juice detox, because
it's not a detox.
Yeah,
it's
right. It's a cleanse.
It has a lot of doctors say, like, this is what you should be eating.
Right.
And we've put it in a box. We mail it to your door, put it in a fridge, and you don't even need to think.
But like, still, like on a juice, you know, if you were doing the juice cleanse, it would be like just juice. But with your soups, like you have the soups
there's
and
snacks,
you can eat other things,
there's
right?
Snacks. Yeah. There's, and you chew, and there's tons of different flavors. And the biggest feedback we get is I'm so full. But and then people drop like 3 to 5 pounds in a week, but not in an unsustainable way. It's not water weight. It's because they're just eating fewer calories, but eating the right way. And I'm proud of that. They're also eating plant-based. We're helping the environment. We're helping the animals. We're helping the water. I believe in this company. You're helping a company that pays people well. We provide sick leave. We provide paid time off. I'm excited about what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm excited about what you're doing too. So, but a lot of people have this vague dream of entrepreneurship. Like, I'll make healthy, locally sourced soups with my mom. But I think very few people do it, and very few people are still doing it 10 years later. So how have you made it work?
I don't know. you have to, and this is something I think that you know, you have to be all in.
That's right.
You can't half-ass it. You have to be in, and that means giving up
everything, basically.
There's no work-life balance.
I'm always telling people, you know, like if you're, I mean, you really do for the first, I mean, 5 years, if not more, just kind of have to sacrifice
everything.
It all. Yeah.
Everything.
And if you're not willing to do that, it's, you know, it's a little challenging.
But I will say this. I will say this. When you say work-life balance, Supergirl is my life.
Right.
So I'm okay with it. I'm not kvetching. It's been so hard, and I have not taken vacations very much and sacrifice a lot, and I have very patient friends, but it's my life. It's my baby. It is my baby. And so it's like, if I got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning or stay up all night with my baby,
you got to get up.
You got to do it. Yeah, and that's cool. But I really, entrepreneurs, if you're going to especially enter the food business, it's not tech. It's not like you build a website and 2 years later you sell it or you don't. It's very expensive. The margins are very thin and there's a lot of physical labor.
But it's also a lot of fun. I mean, I love making pickles every day.
I love your pickles. Pickles and soup. Chatting.
So what advice would you give others who want to take the leap from stand-up to entrepreneurship?
Are there a lot of stand-up comics out there looking to take the leap?
Just who want to leave their 9-to-5 and start a company. I mean, what are some tips or advice that you could give all the listeners?
I'm going to go with the opposite of what a lot of people say. Most people say, have your business plan. Have everything worked out. And I'm going to say, no, don't do that.
Don't do that.
You need to have some basics. You need to do some numbers to make sure I'm going to make more than I spend. That's just there, business school. Make sure you make more than you spend. Have a plan. But there's still things on my to-do list from 2008, and I don't think they're getting done. And at a certain point, if you believe in it, I mean, that's so naive, though, because I'm very, very fortunate. I have a support network and yada, yada, yada. And
I mean, and you've also been very clear. I mean, you say you don't, you know, you didn't have this business plan or whatever, but I feel like Supergirl is so clear on, like, your values and your mission and, you know, how you produce and being kosher and composting and just kind of, like, doing everything.
We're trying. We're not perfect, but we're trying. But yeah, you have to believe in it. And the minute you lose that faith in your product or your business or you lose your direction, that's when you're in trouble.
Right. You gotta love it.
You have to love it and you have to believe in it. It has to keep you inspired every day.
Right. So how do you stay inspired every day?
I don't know.
By making these great new videos that you're throwing up on YouTube.
Yes, I'm inspired actually by the customers because people write the nicest things. In this day and age of social media and, you know, Yelp, Facebook, it's so easy to hear from people when they're displeased. But what we're starting to see is people take the time to write or post or whatever, really positive things about how we've helped them, how we've changed their lives, how we've made their lives better, their health better, they can feed their kids, they don't have to think about it, all kinds of things. And that inspires me.
Which is really awesome. Yeah.
And then I want to grow this business because I'm like, I need to get more and more people eating my soup. But still, when I hang out at our flagship location in Tacoma, I say that as though we have like 15 locations, and that's like on Fifth Avenue. We have two, and one's a takeaway located on top of a gentleman's club, but that's neither here nor there. When people come in, and when I work out of the Tacoma location, people walk in, I'm like, you want to buy my soup? Still, I'm just like, what are you doing here? Why are you here? So I never want to lose that sense of wonder. When I will like sometimes hover at Whole Foods or Mom's Organic Market or Yes,
just and seeing I'll just who's putting it in the cart.
And then I'm just like, what are you doing? Oh my gosh. So that thrill keeps me cooking. It keeps us cooking.
I mean, you have a great base and a great community.
My customers are there are no words. They are the extraordinary human beings, and they are the reasons that we're able to grow, and they support us and they give us positive feedback. And when we've goofed, they gently explain why. I'm so grateful for our customers.
Are they always looking for something kind of like new from you guys? Like what's next?
I put that pressure on us.
Yeah.
You always got to stay.
You got it, right.
They're just like, keep making soup, you know, just keep cooking good soup and we're going to keep buying it.
And then they freak when it's gazpacho season because everybody loves your gazpacho.
That is something I wasn't expecting. We developed a gazpacho program over the summer to kind of keep us afloat through the summer. It's chilled tomato-based soup, raw. And one July, we did more sales of soup, mostly gazpacho, than we did that January.
Wow.
And sometimes we'll come in. Someone came in last week. I think we've all mentally blocked it out of our mind, but it was like a high of 10. Someone's like, do you have any of the beet gazpacho? And I was like, no. barley soup.
You're going to have to wait till July again for that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, but I'm, again, very fortunate. And soup, the thing about soup is it's classic. It's not a fad. I'm not going to talk about foods that may or may not be fads, but like a well-made bowl of soup is the perfect food.
Yeah, I mean, it warms and comforts and it's just delicious.
I literally have no idea why anyone would eat anything else.
Right.
Not only what they eat, although,
besides pickles.
I have my, that's what I was saying. I have my Gordies in my cupboard or then in my fridge and then my soup. And that's really, pickles and soup.
You're good then.
Pickles
You're good. So what's your guys like 5-year, 10-year plan? I mean, do you guys, like, what's the future of Supergirl?
I have this... fervent, just, I need to get this company as big as possible. I'm not talking about money wise. I'm talking about, I believe that we can change the world. That might be overly ambitious, but our new slogan, we started using it about 2 years ago, is saving the world one bowl of soup at a time.
And if you're Superwoman, you could save the world.
All right, I'm saying it. I have a cape. You know what? You're right. Gosh darn it. I have a cape.
You could do anything.
I'm doing it. I can't fly. I'm working on it. But I think that the more people that we get eating this way, the better the world can be. Our healthcare costs can go down. People can feel better. They're going to be in better moods. Again, the environment is going to be much better the more people eat this way. And it's convenient, it's healthy, it's exactly what you should be eating. So if I can get people from coast to coast eating this way, I'm making a difference. And also,
you're getting there. I mean, you're moving up the coast,
we
right?
We are in a period of expansion. We've been very, very fortunate. We're now in Peapod. We're
awesome.
In Costco in New York and Massachusetts, and we're shipping that cleanse from Massachusetts down to North Carolina. We have more meetings and more people are interested in this. And again, every time we get a call, I'm like, what? Who? but I still take those calls. I still, probably because I'm a micromanager or I have trouble letting go, but it's me. I'm Supergirl. And that's why sometimes when people like write complaints or kind of say not such nice things, I'm like, it's me and my mom. Like, I'm the one reading this. This is not like Campbell's or some big, huge, where the division, the PR division or the customer relations division.
But it's kind of great, you know, that it's hitting your inbox because, I mean,
yes,
you're the one that can make the change.
Exactly.
Versus if it, you know, if it wasn't that way, it would have to, you could implement change quickly.
You answer, or you?
I do. Yeah. I mean, we're still a pretty small team, and so
right,
we're all hands on. You know, some days I'm like, oh, I wish I had a couple more hours in the day to, you know, do things for me. But I also kind of really enjoy having my hands all in.
It's all about your brand.
Yeah.
And you want that brand to be everything you envisioned of it when you first started. You want it to still be inspired. And if you kind of hand off too much, I think then, I mean, it's Gordy's Pickles. You're Gordy.
Gordy.
So you can't hand off too much. And people are speaking for you, and you got to be careful about that.
So you said you do from you're shipping the cleanses from Massachusetts to North Carolina.
Yeah.
So do you have like is there a limitation that you can only ship that far, or
it's when FedEx decides to deliver as they promise? It's the place where we can get it overnight on a truck. So once you put it in a plane,
the right.
cost multiplies by 10.
Yeah.
And also the soups explode, which is another issue. So now we're going to add maybe 2 days so we can go all the way to Chicago. We're probably going to do that very soon, but we'll have to freeze soups. And then they'll arrive hopefully still frozen, or and then you can decide when you want to do the cleanse. Do you like I'm talking with my hands, even though no one can see me? It's a very Jewish thing to do. There's been a lot of trial and error, a lot of oops, FedEx left a box in the bushes or something. I mean, but it's working.
Yeah.
And developing that packaging was so hard.
It looks great.
Thank you.
So you get, but it seems like now you guys are like really pushing the cleanse. Like I feel like, you know, I hear a lot about the cleanse.
That is definitely, we're pushing all aspects of the business, but like I can only shout from the rooftop so many times, like order on Peapod, order on Peapod.
Yeah, you know? Right.
But they carry the cleanse also. But it's direct to consumer, and it's something that we have the most control over. I can control how it's packaged, how it's shipped, the communication. I can't control what shelf I'm on at certain stores. I can't control what they're going to put out, what's going to get lost in the back. This I have control, and that's what I love, because I'm interacting directly with our consumers.
And making sure that they receive the freshest, most delicious product.
And if they have questions about it, and if they, you know, have any concerns, we're going to get back to them immediately. And
So you guys are, what, a team of 25 more?
Payroll is, we're between 35 and 40 people.
Whoa.
Yeah, I get fetal position every time I run payroll. Fetal position.
Well, that's awesome. You job creator, you. That's...
thank you. It is. It feels good. This is the time where we have to look at across the board, where are we spending, this is stuff where I did not go to business school. You didn't go to business school, right?
I didn't go to business school. I wanted to go to business school, but I started at Gordy's instead of going to business school.
So then you went to business school.
Yeah, basically.
You went to Pickles Business School. I say I went to Soup University last year. It was hard. I think I got a C. But that's when you bring in people smarter than you. That's so important when you're starting a business, to recognize what you know and what you don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, just even, you know, obviously it's good to hire people smarter than you if you can. But also just talking to people, you know, talking to entrepreneurs, talking to other small business owners. It's just...
Find yourself a mentor.
Yep.
Find yourself a mentor. And you and I have just so many times, you know, 11 o'clock, call me, I have a question, you know, what's the deal with the insurance, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And we get there together. I mean, it's such an amazing community here in D.C. of small local business owners. I don't know why more people haven't done press on how many female food entrepreneurs there are in D.C. that are, I mean, doing interesting things.
There's a lot. Yeah.
Send out a pitch to
the press.
Whisked. Yes. Called
Jubilee.
Yeah, Jubilee. It's like, what's going on with the women in this town? Because we're kind of...
It's not just this town. It's.
I only care about this town.
Cross the nation.
Yeah,
across
but
the
there's
world.
Something.
I think there's something's happening.
Something's brewing. Yeah, something's definitely brewing,
which is fabulous.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's very exciting to be a part of it. But especially when you have women doing this, they're always willing. Not saying guys aren't, but women are going to help. I'm going to take that call from you at 11, and you're going to take my call at midnight, and we're going to answer those questions, and we're going to figure it out together.
Yeah,
and we're going to figure out a way to collaborate, not take each other down. It kind of reminded me of in the comedy world. There's the
same kind of community.
Yeah, but it's weird because in comedy, it's like if you see someone have a great set, you're so happy for them. But there's definitely 10% of you that's like, oh man, no.
Especially if
are they funnier than me? Am I funnier than them? And it's like all this self doubt.
Especially if you have to go up after them.
Yeah, it's like you want them to have a decent set because you want the crowd to be warmed up, but you don't want them to be dropped in funny because then you're like, oh.
So, big shoes to fill.
Yeah. But in food, you know, there's no competition between Pickles and Soup.
I mean, it's nice that you could kind of, you've kind of combined the two, right? I mean, when you first started, you were like sending jokes to like your, you know, newsletter subscribers.
We still
right?
have those wacky food stories. Yes. We still have those, and people read them, which I love. people must think I am off my rocker. And I'm okay
or
with
hilarious.
That. Somewhere in between. You have to have a sense of humor to keep to do this. I mean, you and I, we just crack up when we see each other at the market. It's just, you got to start laughing because it's like, what else can you do?
Right.
What else can you do?
So if you were to give, you know, three tips or advice to someone starting out, like what would they be? Someone that wanted to start a soup company or start a pickle company or, you know, just start their own company, leave their 9-to-5. What tips would you give?
Well, when I say don't have a fully thought out plan, have something, know how long you can go without getting money. Think about that. Think about how long you can survive without revenue. Figure out your startup costs. So, I mean, I guess I should expand upon that question. Think about your startup costs. Know how much money you need and how long you can last. And then double that money because you cannot possibly plan for dropping 80 quarts of soup or, you know, the refrigerator breaking. And once you have that...
Or getting rear-ended in the van.
Or having a substitute driver drive into a parking lot and shave off the refrigerated part of the van while you're at a roadshow at Costco. That's a story for another time. We should do another one of just like, the podcast should be like, oh, blank, I cannot believe that just happened. Because I think we all have, I have a journal. I call it my Supergirl Journal of Insanity. And it's just full of like, are you kidding me? Did that really just happen? And that was a classic. That was a really, that was a real fun one.
So your number one is like, just think about costs.
Yeah, think about that because the biggest stressor on small businesses is money.
Cash flow.
So just make sure you have cash, you have that figured out. Prepare your, get really cozy with coffee. I think this term is so overused, but I'm about to say it, self-care. If you're not sleeping and exercising, in my opinion, exercise is healthy diet and exercise, I would have lost it. Exercise is a drug in a good way. And
it took me a couple of years to learn that one. I think you the first couple prioritize. I was, you know, just riding on adrenaline. And
yeah. But you use that adrenaline on the treadmill.
Yeah, right.
And get sleep, because if you're not sleeping, you will not make good decisions. Have lists. You know, everyone works differently. I'm very visual. I need to write down all of my to-dos for the day. And there's such... Sometimes I like to write something down and then cross it off because I've already done it just for the satisfaction. I'm like, I did something today.
There's nothing better than just checking crossing. Or crossing.
Yeah. But just a general plan, cash flow,
coffee,
self-care. That's four. And then get your mentors and advisors in line. Know that there are people that you can count on to ask those questions.
Well, I'm really, really love having you here today, Sarah. And
Pickles and Soup.
Thanks so much for coming out and for being the superwoman that you are.
Thank you.
Be back next Wednesday.
I'm excited. This was a blast. You are an excellent hostess. You ask wonderful questions, and you make wonderful pickles.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gordy.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO. On Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.